Anybody thirsty this morning? Praise our God. Anybody got a spiritual thirst this morning? I mean, I've got a physical thirst right at the moment. Praise the Lord. That's why we have these little bottles of water that we have up here. These bodies need water. Amen. And the more you use these bodies, the more water you actually will need. Praise the Lord. Lord willing, I'm going to preach this morning on dwell at the well. Dwell at the well. In Genesis chapter 16, verse number 7, is where I want to begin, and I want to read my text this morning from that portion of Scripture. Amen. And then I'm going to just take us, you know, all the way from the Old Testament right into the New Testament. The Old Testament is our example. The Old Testament is the promise. The Old Testament is showing the way of man and the severity of sin. And the New Testament is showing forth God's remedy for the way of man and the evil of sin. Amen. And the strength and the power that the Old Testament didn't have, but we have now through Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. We have newness of life. We have eternal life. So Genesis chapter 16, verse number 7 says, "And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return unto thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahairoi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered." Amen. You can be seated again this morning. The well. Thou God seest me. That's what that word means. That's what that Lahairoi means. Beer Lahairoi means Thou God seest me. Praise God. There's nothing that we can have than a greater reality that God sees me. He doesn't see the other people. He sees me. Hallelujah. And he deals with me and he works with me. It's kind of like that old song, and he walks with me and he talks with me. It's the same, just a little bit different terminology, but he deals with me and he works with me. Hallelujah. Because he sees me. Praise God, because he's a personal God and he sees me. Yes, he sees the person next to you. Yes, he sees everybody else in the whole wide world, but the emphasis is on the reality that he sees me. Hallelujah. He knows where I'm at. Hallelujah. And he knows what's going on. And just like Hagar here, God was there on the scene, knew what was going on. And this is the first encounter at this well, this spring of water. And, you know, the reality, just a little reality on the physical need of water. Number one, you can't survive without it. You cannot live without water. You have to have water. Why? Well, here's a few little facts. Up to 60% of the human adult body is water. according to H.H. Mitchell, Journal of Biological Chemistry, the brain and the heart are composed of 73% water. The lungs are about 83% water. The skin contains 64% water. Muscles and kidneys are 79%. And even the bones are watery with a 31%. That's your body. It's got to have water. Number one thing, believe it or not, maybe it's not the number one thing, but it's a very common phenomenon to put people in the hospital. It's called dehydration. Dehydration starts causing other things not to function properly. And then when the other things quit functioning properly, then that's what sends you to a doctor's visit. And when you get there, they check your blood and they find out, well, you're dehydrated. You need to drink more water. Has anybody ever heard your doctor tell you that? Oh, come on now, be honest. You need to drink more water. Maybe it's just my doctor, I don't know. You need to drink more water. How many's ever went to the doctor and you were dehydrated? Then he told you you need to drink more water, you just didn't listen. Praise God. Because if you were dehydrated, then that's the reason why you were dehydrated, because you did not drink water. And that's what we need. Water's always been throughout history a very, very important part. All through the Old Testament, you will find when the children were in the wilderness, what did they come up against and what was some of the biggest problems? No water for a million plus people. So then God just brings it out of a rock because he knows they need water. Praise our God. There's so much terminology, but I'm going to move on. I'm talking about dwell at the well. So here we find that Hagar encounters God at this well. In Genesis chapter 24, verse number 62, it says, Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. Here we find the story of Isaac and Rebekah. Rebekah is Isaac's bride. She's just arriving. And where do we find Isaac? He's by the well. He's actually dwelling by the well. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 25, verse number 11, and it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well of Lahairoi. He didn't just pass by the well. He dwelt at the well. He dwelt at the well. Why did he dwell at the well? Well, there's physical reasons. Because it was a spring. A spring of water. That means it was always full of water. Once again, it takes water for animals, it takes water for people, and he realized this was the most important area for the sustaining of his household, the sustaining of all of his possessions, was dwelling by the well of Lahairoi. Praise God. But now let's think about the spiritual aptitude of it. For now, from what we've just read, and here is something that Charles Spurgeon wrote about these portions of Scripture. Hagar had once found deliverance there. We read about that in our first scripture, chapter 16. Ishmael had drank from the water so graciously revealed by God, who liveth and seeth the sons of men. Ishmael also drank there, didn't share that portion of Scripture. But when she left with Ishmael, there she found water again, and God gave her the promise again. Hallelujah. Are you catching the correlation here? God is dwelling at the well. and Isaac's dwelling at the well. Hallelujah. And so we see then that a lot of times, men just come, and let me read on here, but this was just merely a casual visit, such as worldlings pay to the Lord in times of need when it serves their turn. They cry unto him in trouble, but forsake him in prosperity. But Isaac dwelt there, made the well of the living and all-seeing God his constant source of supply. The usual tenor of a man's life, the dwelling of his soul, is the true test of his state. Perhaps the providential visitation experienced by Hagar struck Isaac's mind, led him to revere the place. Its mystical name endeared it to him, and his frequent musings by its brim at eventide made him familiar with this well. His meeting Rebekah there made his spirit feel at home near the spot, and best of all, the fact that he there enjoyed fellowship with the living God and had made him select the hallowed ground for his dwelling. Praise God. Hallelujah. He wanted to dwell there for physical preservation, but he wanted to dwell there for spiritual communion with God also. Hallelujah. Because that's who you find connected to this well. That's who you find. You find Isaac going there, meditating in the evening time. What is that? Well, you remember in the Garden of Eden before Adam and Eve fell, that's when they fellowshipped with God. That in that evening tide, they drew nigh to God. They fellowshipped with God. And Isaac would go there and he would meditate. What's that mean? Think about God. Hallelujah. Think about God's blessings. Think about what God has done. Think about God's promise. He went there with the word of God on his heart, on his mind, for the keeping of his soul and the refreshing of his spiritual life that he had with our God. Woo, hallelujah. And now it rolls right on over into the New Testament. And that, not per se that well, but then the likening of our spiritual life and its source to the well. In John chapter number 4, verse number 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Hallelujah. A well of water springing up. Hallelujah. A continual flow, a continual fountain, a satisfying of the thirst of the soul. He that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness shall be filled. Hallelujah. That's the teachings of Jesus Christ. And then Jesus himself in John 7:37, in the last day, the great day of the feast. Amen. In other words, it was the high day of the feast, the day everybody was there, everybody was attentive, and he stood up on that high day of that great day of that feast, and Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And then John gives us the understanding and the explanation. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. The cross had not taken place yet. The resurrection had not taken place yet. But Jesus Christ was giving them a foreknowledge of the well of living water, springs of living water coming up from within. Hallelujah. Notice it coming up from that. That's why it's called filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Because that fountain of living water comes up from within. And then we begin to speak in those other tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. But it is that life giving water of an almighty God that he knows that we are going to need to maintain spiritual life, just like we need that glass of water, just like we need to consume water for physical life. Brothers and sisters, we need to be full of the Holy Ghost for spiritual life. Hallelujah. And to be full of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the living God, we're going to have to learn how to dwell at the well. Hallelujah. We're going to have to learn how to dwell in the presence of an almighty God. We're going to have to know God's presence and long for it. Just like Isaac longed for that meditating time with God there at that well in the Old Testament. Glory to God. You and I have got to come to the wells of an almighty God and allow the Spirit of God to cleanse us, wash us. The Bible talks about the washing of the Word. What is that? That's that living water. Woo, that comes up from within and begins to purify our minds and begins to reveal to us what unrighteousness is and begins to reveal to us what righteousness is. And he does it by the Word of God, hallelujah, as we allow him to flow over our heart, over our mind, and over our soul. I don't know if you've ever had the question in your mind, hopefully not in a critical way, but in a desire to understand that when God moves in the sanctuary of the church, why doesn't everybody move with God? I don't know if you've ever had that question. Because those that move with God are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Those that move with God are wanting that time of refreshing for the soul and the renewing of the mind. Those that enter into that fountain of living water are those that want transform, those that want change, those that want God's will in their lives. They will be the ones that enter in. They will be the ones that lift their heart with their hands. They will be the ones that lift their voice in thanksgiving to God for the greatness of this salvation in their soul. Why? Because it's a river of living water that's flowing up from within, and it automatically produces praise unto God and thanksgiving unto God and a magnifying of God and a reality of my unworthiness. Wow. And so those that have those desires are going to get in every time, but those that are running from God, those that don't want to do God's will, those that want to do their own thing for God, you'll find they're not getting in. They're watching everybody. And they'll lift up their hand. But you're going to find those that want what God wants, they're going to be standing somewhere, kneeling somewhere, laying somewhere. Praise God. Tears are going to be falling from their eyes. And they're going to be crying out to an almighty God, Lord, your will be done. Oh, Lord, help me. I'm a wretched, wretched individual, and I need your help in my life. I need you continually guiding my life. Hallelujah. I was praying that this morning. Praise God. I mean, it's something you got to do every day. You got to realize how much you need God's presence in your life, or you're not going to pursue it being there. It's so sad because this is where disunity comes from. This is where cranky people come from. This is where people who use their tongue as an unruly member come from. It comes from individuals who are not hungering and thirsting after God's righteousness. And thus they can't control their tongue. They can't control what they say because they are led by themselves and not being led by an almighty God. And this has to be something pursued. It never comes automatically. And this is why you possibly have been hurt somewhere along the way by a Christian who was not in hot pursuit of that fountain of living water. And all they did was reveal what the old man is like. But at the same time, we've got to realize I've been there too. I've done that too. There's been times when I didn't reveal the new man. I revealed the old man. And that's why this dedication this morning was heavy on my heart and heavy on my mind, because I realized the responsibility I have for those I stand before, those I put my arm around, those I teach at school, those that I encounter wherever I'm at. I am responsible to show them Jesus Christ. And too many times, I have failed. I didn't show them Jesus Christ. I showed them Doug Pepper. You ever heard that little saying, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind? Well, that's the worst thing you could ever do for somebody. Because they don't need a piece of your mind. They need the piece of his mind. Woo! And I'm the only one that can show it to them. If I'm standing before them, I should have that relationship with God where I can reveal God instead of me. But like I said too many times, I've just gave them a piece of my mind. And I did not give them his mind. Oh, but thank God there's been a multitude of times that I have given them Jesus. I have presented Christ to them by my demeanor, by my countenance, by my love, by my compassion, by my forgiveness. Hallelujah. And I have revealed Christ to a multitude. But that's why it's so important that I dwell at the well. Hallelujah. And I dwell at that presence of God, and that I let God continually wash my mind, renew my mind, keep my mind fresh and anew upon him. Acts chapter 3, verse number 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That's what God loves to do in the house of God. Hallelujah. We make that reference many times that we brought him with us. And that is a true statement. The Holy Ghost of God, he abides. He abides. But that does not limit him, hallelujah, to manifesting that hand, hallelujah, in the presence of his children. Glory to God. So what we see in the house of God is not necessarily because he's abiding in here. He is manifesting himself in the house, hallelujah, so that we can be filled fresh and anew, have our mind renewed fresh and anew, have our spirit encouraged fresh and anew, hallelujah to the Lamb, that we can come forth from the house of God, a brand new creature, fresh and anew, walking in that love of God, led by the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ, ruling our desires. Wow. That's why we got to dwell at the well. Amen. That's not just dwelling around these altars. That well needs to be in your house. That well is wherever you actually take that time to take God's word and kneel before God, sit before God, lay before God, and let his word renew you. Let his word renew your mind. You must realize by now that the enemy always attacks the mind first. Always. He has no other source to get to you. Some may say, well, sometimes he attacks the body. Yeah. But the attack of the mind is going to be there at the same time. Because if the body gets to feeling bad, there's things we can do. We can either get cranky. Yeah, that's one of the things you do when you don't feel good. You get cranky. Or we can realize the Lord is my helper. Hallelujah. Woo. We can gripe and complain about not feeling good. Or we can praise him because we know he's going to help us feel better. Praise our God. I'm going to dwell at the well. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. I'm going to dwell at the source of life. I'm going to dwell at the fountain of living water. I'm going to dwell there. Hallelujah. And I want my mind stayed on the Lord. And that means I want to think the way He would think. Never. And I've done my share of it, church. I've done my share of it. But never do I ever find Jesus Christ complaining about one thing. Never. If we are chronic complainers, then we are not dwelling at the well. We're just not. And the thing is we can. I'm not throwing stones at anybody that's a chronic complainer, because like I said, I have done my share of it. Students, I apologize. Because a lot of times I complain about your behavior. I complain about your desire or lack thereof. I complain about you're behind all the time. I complain. Sometimes I just could just, Anybody else been there? It's real. I just told them the other day, you know, guys, if I didn't love you, I'd throw you out this door. So that would be Doug Pepper. I ain't going to put up with that anymore. But that grace of God and that mercy of God, because I remember then, I've been there. I was young once. I was a teenager once. I was lost when I was a teenager. I didn't have the opportunity these teenagers have. I was lost and undone. And I just did whatever I felt like was right to do. But 23 years old, Jesus Christ came into my life. And my life changed. It didn't change instantly in the sense of I didn't change to the knowledge, information, and understanding that I have now at 61. I just changed paths, changed desires, and I began to dwell by the well. That's what you do when you come to Jesus Christ. You begin to choose to dwell at the well. Praise the Lord. Someone can come to the piano. I'm going to close. Believe it or not. But I haven't closed yet. Let us learn to live in the presence of the living God. Let us pray the Holy Spirit that this day and every other day we may feel Thou God seest me. May the Lord Jehovah be as a well to us, delightful, comforting, unfailing, springing up unto eternal life. The bottle of the creature cracks up and dries up, but the well of the Creator never fails. Happy is he who dwells at the well, and so has abundant and constant supplies near at hand. The Lord has been a sure helper to others. His name is Shaddai, God all-sufficient. Our hearts have often had most delightful intercourse with Him. Through Him our soul has found her glorious husband, the Lord Jesus, and in Him this day we live and move and have our being. Let us then dwell in closest fellowship with Him. Glorious Lord, constrain us that we may never leave Thee, but dwell by the well of the living God. It's a choice. I have to choose to be there. I have to choose to drink there. I have to choose to allow that fountain of living water transformed my life. I have to make it my determination to dwell at the well. What is that? That's putting God first. That's giving Him preeminence over my life. I will dwell there so I can communicate with Him, have fellowship with Him, and that is what transforms my life. This alone, without the well, will not have effect on my life. The devil can quote this book. Has he changed lately? Has it gotten a little sweeter? Has he gotten a little kinder towards you? Because he knows this. No. Because the difference is the power of the Holy Ghost in here. And then me dwelling in it. Walking in it. Listening to him. And allowing then this to become my way of life. My culture. Woo! My lifestyle. His lifestyle. His love, his grace, his mercy, his kindness, his righteousness, his holiness. Can't leave any of it out. Because he is everything. He is everything. Oh, praise God. Could we stand together once again this Lord's Day and lift our hands unto the one who loves us with an everlasting love?